Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that makes Amino Active, proven safe and effective for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Dr. Donna, here we are again on The Expert Vet. You are The Expert Vet. And I've got an email from someone, and I thought, wow, this is a great chance for you to help us understand IBD and all kinds of digestive problems. This is for a dog, but I know a lot of people with cats write us and talk about IBD, and I know it's something that you really need to straighten us out about. So let me read this part of this email. I have a Yorkshire Terrier with GERD, G-E-R-D, gastritis, in parentheses. He's been put on a diet by a veterinary nutritionist, but he still has some symptoms and will always be a little sensitive. I would absolutely love it if you could, on an upcoming show on The Expert Vet, discuss dogs with gastritis, acid reflux. It would help me understand my dog's condition. So I have a friend who says she has terrible GERD. I'd never heard this word before until recently, G-E-R-D, which seemed to be a thing that was dealt with by Rolaids or Tums or that kind of a thing.
Right.
Tell us what GERD, why is this suddenly a new word?
Yeah, I mean, GERD, we see it all over. It stands for gastroesophageal reflux disease. So obviously GERD is a much easier thing to say.
Yes.
What it means is acid leaves the stomach, it burps up through the esophagus, you taste it in the back of your mouth and you're like, holy cow, I wish that I wouldn't have had that taco. You know, I mean, it's a human term. It's a human term. Dogs can't, but how many times have you seen your dog, especially big dogs, they're standing there over their food bowl and they bloop, and they sort of burp up and like kind of look like they've just got a sour taste in their mouth and they're like, wow, that wasn't good. So, and it does occur. But in people, that's a very human word is GERD.
Okay.
And you know, people, just as a brief, you know, when you eat too much, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, you've had a spicy meal, you are overweight, and then you go to lay down and you ate too late and you get a little reflux and, you know, in heartburn, those are all human phenomena. But we do see it on the canine and feline side. And just because they can't tell us exactly how they're feeling, you know, this disease syndrome is more of a gastrointestinal inflammatory disorder generally. And, you know, and for the most part, we're usually thinking about inflammatory bowel disease, you know, and it, even though we say bowel, it can affect the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine. So it can, you know, some people will refer to colitis, and that's the inflammatory disease affecting the colon. Inflammatory bowel disease is usually small bowel, and then gastritis being inflammation of the stomach. But the common signs of all of these would be repeated gulping, swallowing, burping, vomiting, regurg. You know, the dog's just kind of running around and bloop, out burps.
Yes.
Like
some some either fluid or food.
Fluid, phlegm, you know, exactly. But we can also see some, you know, when we talk about kind of the acidy reflux, you know, again, I think a person, if they're really familiar with their dog or cat, can tell when maybe they're getting ready to eat a meal and they just, like, they burp a little, they reflux a little, and it seems to burn. They stand with their neck extended.
Yes.
They swallow, they gulp, they... And so people say, wow, it looks like he's got acid reflux. And probably he absolutely does. You know, but again, and you know me, I'm always talking about the underlying problem.
That's right.
The underlying problem is usually some form of inflammatory bowel disease, pancreatitis, you know,
wow,
inflammation of the pancreas, truly disease within the esophagus, inflammation, which is called esophagitis. You know, sometimes there are even more advanced diseases. You know, there can be problems with the muscles of the esophagus. You know, it's there's a lot of things that can cause that. But
and what about stomach cancer? My wine Lulu stopped eating and would look nauseous when she stood in front of her food and had that rigid necky thing that you're describing.
And it can be cancer, you know, from stem to stern. It can either be cancer of the esophagus, the stomach, the intestine.
Right.
And stomach and intestinal cancer, unfortunately, is very common in dogs and cats, far more common in cats. So what our listener has described, these are signs, the little bit of acidity reflux, the vomiting, the regurg, the gulping, the swallowing, all those things are signs and symptoms of an underlying disease. And so that's the veterinarian and the owner's, you know, job is, let's, you know, if I've got a dog with the dog or cat with these signs, any of these signs, you know, from vomiting, from diarrhea to this acidy looking reflux, you know, we kind of have to start. And generally we start with saying, let's just check and make sure all the organs are functioning okay.
Yes.
Because if you're in kidney failure, you get real acidy and
you
can vomit and you can have. So again, you know, a basic blood panel is always a starting point. The next, especially in cats, would be checking thyroid status, because cats tend to get hyperthyroid. The main signs of hyperthyroidism in cats is going to be vomiting and stomach acid sort of refluxy issues.
Right.
So they
might have hyper T, that tumor that grows on the thyroid gland in many, many older cats and is totally treatable. So to just understand this for a second, GERD, which is referred to by humans nowadays, is that just a fancy word for heartburn, first of all?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So let's forget the word GERD because it makes everyone feel like too either special or too more ill than they are.
Or you just say GERD and you say heartburn, it doesn't – when you've got heartburn, it doesn't really indicate that you've got an underlying problem.
That is not the condition. The condition is whatever is causing that to happen.
Right. And in people, it's often a combination of your diet, what you're eating, you're too fat, you lay down, there's a lot of things that go into it. Most people that have GERD, they don't necessarily have inflammatory bowel disease or pancreatitis or all these horrible things. It's a lifestyle problem many times.
But that's not the case with dogs and cats because they pretty much completely control their intake, and the food we give them wouldn't provoke any of these unless there's an underlying condition.
Now, one caveat, of course, I'm going to toss out there because you know I will, is if you have a pug-faced dog or cat, even like the Himalayan, the Persian, the pugs, the Boston Terriers, the Bulldogs, these dogs and cats often have truly acid, like a little acid reflux phenomena because the flat face creates such a negative pressure in their chest cavity that it pulls acid out of the stomach into the chest cavity, into the esophagus.
Wow.
So that is a breed-related phenomena that we see quite commonly. It can even cause somewhat of what we call a hiatal hernia because, again, these little dogs are trying to breathe through the nose.
Yes.
And it creates such a negative pressure in the chest that all the stuff from the abdomen sort of slides into the chest.
Wow.
And it creates an acid reflux phenomena. So certain breeds, again, you know, there are always some exceptions. Those breeds are very prone to, even from a very young age, puppies through their entire life, especially the ones that are really small in the nose, really, really pushed in from the face.
Brachycephalic, really a flat face. So before we go on to how does this gentleman in Tennessee find out what is the underlying cause for his Yorkie's heartburn, what if you have that brachycephalic dog or cat, which is almost always a purebred animal, Is there something like a Tums or a Rolaids type of thing that that dog or cat should be given? And if so, would it be before meals, between meals, or only if symptomatic?
Yeah, I mean, we do absolutely use more. What we use are the Pepcid, Zantac, Prilosec sort of approach.
Right.
Tums, and those are not terribly effective in our dog and cat patients. The others are far better.
That's a sad reminder to me that Teddy, who wound up having the horrible cancer, which had migrated to his liver, but we really actually will never know where it began. He had a series of serious gastrointestinal reactions that had me taking him two different times to the all-night emergency place from severe gastric distress, some vomiting, but mostly moaning and groaning and stretching in agony as if he were bloating, which he was not. But Pepcid AC was the thing that I started to then give him every night on the idea that, quote unquote, he has a sensitive stomach. But I see now, gee, wasn't that so damn stupid? Because why was it so sensitive? See, this is the issue. If we just say, oh, I have this sensitive tummy Yorkie or this Weimaraner who's otherwise seems so healthy but has huge gastric events, those are the symptom of something else. They aren't in and of itself a condition. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about how you would go down your checklist of where in the dog and cat's body are you going to start to look for and then eliminate each of those body parts, digestive parts, as being the cause behind heartburn. We'll be right back. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum that is custom-tailored to your pet's specific allergy results to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years, a blood test that measures a pet's reaction to 90 common airborne elements in foods. Their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. And support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too. So, Dr. Donna, this is interesting. In humans, you can have heartburn because of your lifestyle, the way you live, the condition of your body, when you eat, what you eat. But in animals, when they have this acid reflux / heartburn, it's actually a symptom of another organ or part of the digestive system that is in some sort of distress. Let's start with, I don't know, the closest thing to where you would have the problem. Would that be the esophagus?
Yeah. And, you know, so just to kind of run down, when I have a dog or a cat presented to me, because just keep in mind, any dog can run out, get in the trash and like vomit and not feel well and have acid reflux. That's what we call acute gastritis. But what we're talking about are these chronic, these dogs or cats that have chronic signs of vomiting, regurg, episodic. They can be every once in a while. They can be constantly having these episodes, but it's of a chronic nature. So what we start with is we tick down the list. We would say we want to make sure your liver, your kidneys, everything's healthy, that you're not in organ failure, you don't have thyroid disease. So we do that with, you know, blood counts, chemistry panels, urinalysis, fecal exams, making sure that they don't have Giardia. Cryptosporidium. These are GI parasites that can cause syndromes of bloating, chronic vomiting, chronic intermittent diarrhea. I mean, you know, chronic Giardia is a huge issue, especially in urban environments. So we definitely want to do a good intestinal parasite screen. You know, I can't tell you how many times, like when I lived in New York City and these little poodles and Yorkies were being carried around, they're like, they don't have parasites. Where would they get parasites? But they live in New York City, where there's a lot of water contamination and you know, so it does exist even in the little, what I call little armpit lap dogs. I
mean, so first you're doing this very full blood panel,
blood and
your analysis.
Yep.
Now the fecal testing, if I'm not wrong, particularly where Giardia is concerned, one negative test is not definitive. If the symptoms continue, you have at least one more, if not even two more. Is that right?
Yeah. The gold standard is like 3 consecutive tests to be negative for Giardia because it does shed intermittently. And then, or you can do 2 fecal tests combining different technologies to pick up Giardia, and that makes it very sensitive as well.
If you have any Giardia, it will show up?
Well, you know, that's always a problem because it can shed occasionally. It doesn't show up in every poop sample.
But if there's any there at all, even a small amount, then
you
have to be treated. Okay, so now let's say we've eliminated
all that stuff is negative.
Right. Now we have the body parts we need to look at somehow.
Right. Well, then generally, again, many times I'll start with, as strange as it sounds, a chest x-ray. Because you want to look at the esophagus. You want to look at which is the tube that runs from the mouth down the neck.
X-ray shows you that tube?
Well, if it's abnormal, it often shows up. And so we want to look for dilation of the esophagus, which could indicate that there's acid coming up chronically into the esophagus. If it's dilated, I'm sure you've heard of a mega esophagus condition.
Yes, I've never known quite what that was. So if it's constricted, that's one thing. But if it's dilated, overly large, that's mega.
Right.
How has that happened?
Well, it's just a chronic disease condition called mega esophagus.
Okay.
But its symptoms are going to be chronic regurgitation, chronic vomiting, you know, weight loss. I mean, it's going to look the same as inflammatory bowel disease. So it's an important part of the workup. Dogs and cats both can get it. So often the chest x-ray is overlooked in a case of vomiting.
Right.
And you can't overlook that because we sometimes pick up hiatal hernias, mega esophagus, esophageal diseases. So we always look at the chest x-ray.
Now does it have to be done with contrast? Because again, in simplicity, think, well, x-rays only show bones, but you're saying it shows the soft tissues.
Right. And especially if there's an air interface in a mega esophagus, it's filled with air and you can see. You know, not to get into too finely of the details, but just so a pet owner has a general idea of what they'd be looking at. And then, you know, viewing the abdomen, you know, most general veterinarians can take an abdominal x-ray, but it's kind of like the difference between an x-ray and an ultrasound, like in a pregnant woman. You know, the ultrasound allows us to look internally at all the organs, but specifically at that point, we're really interested in looking at the pancreas.
Right.
The full intestine, the stomach wall, the stomach lining, looking for lumps, bumps, masses, lymph nodes.
Wow.
Intestinal thickenings, certain inflammatory bowel diseases, one which affects the Yorkshire Terrier, look a certain way. They can have very specific changes on ultrasound. So again, it's just honing in on, look at this. We have an intestinal problem as our main issue. And then, often we move into scoping procedures, which are relatively non-invasive. Yes, there's anesthesia, but you just stick a scope down. You look at all the internal parts of the stomach, esophagus, intestine.
It's just a tube that goes down the throat with a little camera in it, which people can have done as well for intestinal issues.
And then you can actually take biopsies, you know, to confirm, because that's the only way that, you know, many of these diagnoses are made, is to get pieces and chunks and make a confirmed diagnosis, and then so you can generate a specific treatment plan.
Well, let's just go back to his Yorkie, because he wants to better understand, but it seems to me that he also needs to take a more bold and aggressive look at what's going on inside that little guy.
And maybe they have, and that's
maybe
where they've come up with the diagnosis of gastritis, which, you know, truly, if you've ruled out everything else and this dog has had biopsies of the stomach that say, you know, inflammatory disease, it is gastritis.
Okay.
That is the correct name. But, you know, there are many things that we treat that with. Some of these dogs will need a hypoallergenic diet. Some will need a low-fat diet. Some will need, you know, it just depends. Some will need what we call novel protein, you know, something they've never eaten before. Some will need higher fiber versus lower fiber. I mean, it's so dependent on the dog, the way they're presenting, what they're, you know, is there a diarrhea element versus is it all just vomiting? Do they need antacids or do they need, you know, just dietary therapy? But very similar to like the arthritis treatment, like we always get back to and talk about, it's multimodal. Usually you need some sort of potentially anti-inflammatory medicine. You sometimes need antidiarrheals. You need antacids, things that, because the system is inflamed, there is a problem, it's abnormal, and that's what's causing the signs of the vomiting, the signs of the diarrhea, the signs, those are all just signs. The true disease many times is inflammatory. So it's a multimodal approach at getting at the inflammation, and we use the diet and the anti-inflammatories and the antacids and all those things to manage the disease. You know, rarely are these diseases cured. They are usually only manageable.
And in fact, it sounds as if the only thing that's been happened here, he says that my vet, the veterinary nutritionist at the University of Tennessee, Donna Ratatic, who's a great lady, I've had her on some of my shows, has changed my dog's life for the better, and doing so through the power of good nutrition, mm-hmm. a balanced homemade diet. I believe they use Balance It, which is a company and a product you use as well.
Right.
I'd like to take a quick break, but when we come back, but the dog still has symptoms, and talk about whether changing a dog from either a totally unbalanced homemade kind of diet or a less good quality commercial diet, if changing it can seem to make things better, because diet always does, but then it doesn't go the next step to finding out, well, what was the real underlying cause?
Right.
It seems to me in this case, it might have been, wow, we're really going to improve the diet, but the dog's still not better, because it seems like there's a lot of things that might have to be included in lifelong management. So we'll be right back after this quick word from a sponsor.
This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they can make a USDA-approved serum that is custom-tailored to your pet's specific allergy results to control his symptoms. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done over 500,000 allergy tests during 25 years, a blood test that measures a pet's reaction to 90 common airborne elements in foods. Their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. And support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxaCheck titer test for cats, too.
We're back, and Dr. Donna Spector is talking in general about IBD and digestive problems, and we're talking without a full idea of what was done for the Yorkie in Tennessee, other than a balanced homemade diet, mm-hmm. and the dog is still symptomatic.
And you know me, I think that's the crux of the initial treatment plan is altering the diet to as close to home cooked. If you know, not every client and pet owner is going to be able to do that, but eliminating the possibility of preservatives, other things in the food that the dog may be having reactions to, really getting to an elemental, basic, really super high quality food and nutrition plan. But in a true disease state, something like this inflammatory bowel disease that we're talking about, diet may only take you so far. It may really help and it may improve digestion and we may start along the path of some weight gain. But if there is truly a disease process, diet isn't going to necessarily be the cure.
And how you know that is, at least in part, that things get better, but they don't get close to all better. And I just use as a quick example the absolutely methodical, meticulous way that you looked into what was then my newly adopted Blue Weimaraner, Maisie, who the minute she came off of the Kirkland Costco dry food, which is all she'd ever been given to eat in her whole 9 months of life, began to have horrific diarrhea. And we did the spot platinum test, and she had a little reactions to a few things, nothing dramatic, in case there was something or another that she would just test it off the chart. And you came up with this very meat and potatoes, but it's a lifetime maintenance of high fiber must be added to her food. And you looked at every food she was getting. I wanted to feed the Halo kibble. I wanted to feed the Honest Kitchen. Sometimes I wanted to put in some of my own meat or eggs or what have you. And you discovered, and you said, we have to do this trial and error. She gets Fiber One cereal and psyllium husk at least X amount in every single bowl of food she gets. And one time I didn't put some in there. Gave her 2 tablespoons of cooked vegetables. And she was all poo puddles again. So, I mean, that's what we need to do, or somebody needs to do for this Yorkie, right? I mean, that dog needs to be on anti-inflammatories and maybe Pepcid AC every night. And maybe, but it seems like maybe these tests you're talking about have not been done, the chest and abdominal x-ray and or ultrasound, and maybe an endoscopy.
Right. But, you know, it's, and, you know, we'll go to, I think, you know, I'm using the example of, you know, the, remember Gretel, who we've talked about in previous shows, you know, she came in
with the infection,
skin infection. She had the skin infection and she got treated with a round of antibiotics because that was a pretty good basic treatment. And the same is true of this dog. Like, you can try the basic treatment, which is let's just try the food and see if it gets better. And maybe you do an antacid with it or this or that. But when something, it doesn't matter what problem it is, if it's not getting all the way better or fully better or to the point where you're comfortable with it or the dog is not still not having a good quality of life, that's when you have to go the next step.
Yes.
It's always okay. You know, I'm not telling every pet owner the moment your dog has a few days of vomiting or whatever, you have to run out and get all these fancy tests. But when it becomes a chronic problem in the first, maybe the second stab at it isn't working and you're still dealing with the same problem, be it a skin infection, a vomiting, a this infection, that, you know, that's when you have to seek more advanced diagnostics because there is something likely going on underlying the whole process. So I think that's a good take home is when it's, when you're just not getting the results and your dog isn't or cat isn't feeling as good as you want them to be, and one attempt has not worked and the second attempt may not be successful. Like, you know, don't keep going back to the drawing board of let's try a new medicine. You know, getting some answers is always going to be the right thing.
So when we have kitties that that have what is referred to as IBD, they have either diarrhea in the case of one person that wrote in or vomiting or both, and it's intermittent, and they've changed to a food, whatever it may have been. I mean, I'd love if they changed to, you know, frozen raw Nature's Logic or a highly a good quality canned like the Halo pate that you love that's low carb or the Waruva, and the cat is still having these issues. But they're better than they were on. Let's say the cat was on kitty crack before, was eating dry food, and we know that can cause many digestive problems for the obligate carnivore. So what would we do with that kitty? We wouldn't just let that kitty periodically have diarrhea and vomiting because it means there's an underlying problem, and people have this weird idea about cats. Yeah, they just vomit.
Right.
Sometimes they just vomit. But really, it's a big fat warning that there's something going on. So do you go to the chest x-ray and the abdominal x-ray and ultrasound for the kitty just as much as the dog?
Yeah. Yes.
And that can show you if the inside of the stomach is thickened or has any growths. And the same thing with the esophagus, you can see inside.
We can.
And then with any luck, you see something, you go, aha, you see, and then you would be treating for that for life, right?
Right. Well, you know, most, again, like we said, most of the conditions we deal with are going to be manageable, not curable. And just like people, you with your allergies, for example, you may have times of the year when you feel a lot better and you don't need to take the medicine. And then there may be times of the year when
you need more
or you need it year round, but you need more at certain times of the year. So it, the same is true with most of these chronic medical conditions.
And where the stomach's concerned or the digestive system entirely, it seems like that we should be grateful if a dog or a cat has throw up or diarrhea because it's telling you go further and find out why. I mean, I'm really fascinated that both kidney disease and pancreatitis would be one of their symptoms. And if you can deal with kidney disease or pancreatitis early, you save their life. And if you don't, they die from it or could, right?
They can.
So this is a really – we're glad that it came up, but we're – and we're also glad that the Yorkie is under the care of the University of Tennessee where they have all the fabulous equipment and lots of very smart doctors. And maybe they've done these tests and maybe the Yorkie is also taking other things. But not having mentioned it, people tend to be pretty specific. So
And that's why, I mean, in a call out to that Yorkie's owner, you know – maybe he or she hasn't gotten the feedback back to the nutritionist to say, oh,
right,
you know, she's better, but she's not 100%
all better.
Because then right. that's where the onus is on us as pet owners. You know, your vet's not necessarily going to know if things aren't going well, unless if you say, hey, you know, I mean, he's okay, but he's not great. You know, to do the follow up and get a referral to, you know, maybe the nutritionist will send him to see an internist like
right.
me.
Right.
Or, you know, but they may just not know if we've
they
not
don't have
had
that feedback. And I guess one of the things that we really need to be clear about here is if your dog or cat continues to have symptoms, don't just say, well, my dog has gastritis or GERD or my kitty has IBD, so this is what I'm going to live with. You need to find out, but what is the underlying cause of that? And then you manage it. So you don't just accept the symptoms as saying, well, this is what he or she has until you know what is causing it, right?
Correct.
Okay, great. So everybody get on the horn to your vet or to a specialist if you've been living with a situation and thought you were just supposed to continue living with it or that your dog or cat was supposed to live with it. They're supposed to be comfortable and not be having strange explosions from either end.
Right.
Their tummies nice and calm as we do our own. Thank you so much, Dr. Donna. Have a great rest of the day and we will talk again soon.
Take care.